But I want to say thank you to Carolyn and Courtney for what they offered in FSC on Monday. And just, we are on the fourth week of considering blessing. And the experience of what Linda and Gary shared on Sunday, of opening up to being, the voice, the Spirit speaks, and to the internal voice that actually is trustworthy all the time. And it is not only trustworthy, it is who we are. And there's a part of our habit, our culture, that has paid far less attention to that and more attention to the way in which we can fit into the world and be acceptable and be appropriate. And one of the things I've learned, I'm sure all of us who are adults here have learned this, that one family's appropriate is different than another family's appropriate. And I was raised in a lower working class family, which is very different than a middle class, upper class family. Like when we had dinner around the table, there was the silverware was just thrown in the center of the table and you took what you needed. There were no napkins, you know, there was a pile of white napkins and the silver was all in the middle. Very different than upper class stuff. Anyway, we're going to hear some opening pieces from Adam and Carolyn, and then I'll come up and we'll continue after that with some other things to do.
Well, I was sharing in service preparation that I have been transcribing the audio recording of some of the attunement retreat that took place last week or the week before in Edenvale. And for the Sunday service week before last, David was speaking about love during the service from Edenvale. So I know that you all were a part of that. But in the piece that I'm transcribing from the attunement retreat, David is speaking about the process that he was describing in four steps, the process of spiritual activation, and how we open more to the spiritual expression plane. I'm gesturing to my head because you're learning the chart that shows the sovereign, the magician, the warrior, the lover, the spiritual, the mental, the physical, the emotional. So I wanted to share something about that and of my experience of what he was speaking about in that tape. And some of that I spoke about on Monday during the FSC session. So the process that David was describing that I think is so brilliant for us to understand and to be able to use as a touchstone is the process of being touched by the preciousness of spiritual expression, the preciousness of being. And often we experience that first as something outside of ourselves, something in nature, something in another person, something that we touch into through spiritual practice or through our faith. And sometimes it comes up when we're in crisis. And we were speaking a bit in the service preparation about pressure. When pressure comes on, there's a tendency for all of our defense mechanisms and our control strategies to come up, and we may try to cope with things in ways that we have in the past that are more ego-driven, ego defense mechanisms and so on. But when we touch something precious, there is the opening of the heart in whatever way it occurs. The heart breaks open to another dimension of experience. And having touched that, step two is to become aware of a longing within ourselves to experience more of that. So there's the radiation, you might say, in terms of the one law, and then there's our response to that radiant experience or aspect of being. So step two, again, response. We begin to open to it. We begin to have a desire for that experience. And step three, then, is getting in touch with what is blocking us from having that experience ongoing in our lives. And we begin to become more aware of the defended parts of ourselves, the ego mind, wanting to figure out what's happening, wanting to control what's happening. And as we get in touch with that pain, which shows up for each of us differently, sometimes as addiction, sometimes as depression, sometimes as separation, sometimes as a feeling of not being good enough or not being worthy of experiencing that stream of being in an ongoing way. And then step four, as David describes it, is really coming into a place of reciprocation, or of, again, what we refer to as the working of the one law, understanding the radiation of being and that it's not separate from us. It's who we are, actually, if we can drop into that experience of being. And that, again, is our response when we open to that, the attraction of that, wanting more of that. And then a sense of union when we begin to realize how we aren't separate from that. It's part of our nature that we can begin to open to more fully. It can begin to become a way of being. And then unified radiation, when we're actually extending that blessing into our world, and particularly when we're doing that with other people, as we do here at Sunrise Ranch in community. So as I was transcribing those notes, I was thinking about how for me so much of that has related to a softening of the heart and being able to get more fully in touch with how I had defended my heart. And as I mentioned on Monday, really, from an early age, and that does happen for all of us in one way or another from an early age. Heather spoke very beautifully during our preparation about how a baby is such a pure manifestation of being. And it's partly why we all love babies. We see that, we feel that. And we may even be able to remember in our own experience a time when things were simpler, purer, when love flowed more freely through us. And we can begin to develop a practice of softening and opening the heart, and also softening the mind in terms of letting go of the need to know or the feeling that we do know, and allowing our hearts and our minds to open in a different way to that flow of being that is always present. And that is nourishing and beautiful and loving, and to be able to support that in one another. So this evening we're going to have a chance. Adam's going to speak next. And then we're going to do something together that Jane will be introducing, where each person has a chance to just open into that flow of being and to sense into how that might come through each of us, through words, through our expression. And so I will invite Adam up next.
Thanks, Carolyn. Maybe before I say too many words, that we could all close our eyes just for a second here and invoke that trustworthy state of being, that central core calm spot that you know and trust. Just hang in that space just for a couple of breaths. So when we talk about trustworthy, in some sense, talking about an experience and not a mental exercise. Because the mental exercise of trust has become a calculation. I mean, we've been taught to not trust charlatans or people that are trying to sell you something. They're going to take advantage of you. There's your partner, and they know all your buttons and triggers, so you can't quite trust them. Mentally, there's that cage. It's easy to get in that cage intellectually. But in the heart, the sense of trust is, I believe, that being, that sense of I exist. And I love it when Carolyn does the form and she describes, she says, like, let's all get into the state of awareness itself. It's just like, that's it. That's being. Being is this, you're alive, but you're not trying to build or tear anything down. You're not actually trying to feel. You feel, but it's because it's coming through you. And so one of this response notion that we were talking about with blessing is unlimited blessing is coming through us all the time. It's one way of looking at it. Now, you don't have to trust my words. You feel it or you don't. If you feel it, then you can trust the feeling. You don't have to trust the words. I might not say it quite right. My family, I don't even know if my mom put down silverware. I mean, you know, TV dinners, you just get the chicken wing. And anyway, we can compare poverty stories sometime. It's gruesome. But when we were talking before about this notion of blessing, the blessing is our, we have an option to feel this blessing that's coming from our own being. Because in that still space, it's filled with, we want to call it, it's the energy, and that energy is supporting us. It's loving us. So that is the blessing. What often happens is, I think we have our barriers between that blessing and our ability to respond to it. So there's this lack of trust, but the trust isn't the feeling. The trust is in the head. In that case. So when the trust is the feeling, you feel it. When you have to analyze, is this right, is this wrong, does it fit into my cosmology to express love? I mean, then you're kind of in a place where you're not in a field that you share with others. You're just in your head. Or you're just in your doubts. And that's normal. We're all there, and we all have a cultural point where we feel discomfort. And I think what going to a trustworthy place is to back off from that just a tad and say, can I feel that sense of existing in the spirit of life and let that flow through me? Can I get in that flow state with what's happening without, you know, gobbling it up mentally and saying, oh, I believe all that? Or the opposite, spitting it out and saying, I don't believe any of that. Because that's just the mental game. That's when we, this week has been sort of a topic for me of learning to live in the speed of trust. And that can be between you and your feelings. It can be between you and what you're hearing. You don't have to buy things. Just let it in. Let it come to your being. See if it fits. Feel it. And when you do that with a group of people, you create a kind of field of trust. Because it's a possibility that you can empathize with that other person, as Barbara brought up in our consideration. When you have a field of empathy, you can then communicate. Before that, you can't, because you only hear your own doubts. You know, you're at this place where all you hear are your doubts. Or you think, they're trying to take advantage of me again. So no negotiation really takes place, because you have to protect yourself. Protect your idea, protect your notion of what's real. That's a different place than being in that centering sense of being, appreciating that other individual. I mean, you may have to discern later, absolutely. But understand what's going on so you can feel the blessing. That's what I wanted to bring up. And I think this is a beginning of what you want to do next, Jane?
Sure.
I don't know. We'll find out. It's a mystery.
It's a mystery.
What do I want to do? In shadow work, when we were being trained in it, I just found my original notes. It's been over 10 years ago. But one of the things that we learn about and introduce to people is a part of our inside nature called the risk manager. So it is a part of who you are that discerns the risk level for you. And in a person's process, when we're running them through, oftentimes the person will say, you start out by asking the person, what do you want to have happen? And it's a very specific phrase. You use those words because it triggers something in a person. And then they'll say what that is, and then you start the process, and then you often see them backing away or creating a way in which it's not going to happen. And there's a mechanism where you say, we'd like to talk to your risk manager. So you get someone to play the risk manager, and then you immediately switch them. So you have one person standing here, and the person themselves is playing their own risk manager. And you ask them, and you say, Jane really wanted this to happen, but she's not letting it happen. Is there something you can share about what's happening for her? Because she really wants this, and yet she won't let it happen. And you're addressing, it's all in ritual space, so it sounds really weird, out of context. But in the context of ritual space, it's like, it's no problem separating out the fact that there's part of you that's actually doing that. And they'll say, well, she doesn't really want to tell you because she did it before and it really hurt or something like that. And then you talk to that point and say, but she really wants this, so how can we make her feel safe? And then you switch them back and you talk to the person and we say, we just talked to your risk manager. And this sounds wonky, but it's like, and we say, we really want to honor that part of you that has kept you safe. And you ask the person, is there something that could have happened if you didn't listen to that risk manager? Oh yeah, my mother would have beat me, or whatever comes out. And they start to see the context of their own culture with regards to risk and trust, fertility, and the ability to bring yourself forward. So while that context might not fully resonate in you as an experience, I can tell you a lot of the way we live our lives, the culture we live in, is managing our risk and knowing whether or not the field feels safe, whether or not it feels... Barbara used the word in our meeting about an empathic field. That word is a little tricky for me because empathy, that word means to me everybody's feeling what everybody else is feeling. And that might not be exactly what that word means. But it is a field where you feel the fertility amongst people where there's something surging and wanting to come forth because there's fertility in the field and there's creativity present. And you want to bring your partially formulated thoughts because they're thriving, they're thrusting forward to be born, but you need a field in which that can happen. And it takes some work to be conscious of how to read the field and how to know at what level you really want to share something. So some of what you're speaking about of what is it that you're trusting is, it's a feeling, of centeredness in reality. It's not your mind saying, well, I've measured the risks and I know that I'm going to do this anyway. Sometimes that, anybody else done that though? You know, it's like, this is going to be risky, but I'm going to do it anyway because I need to do it, or I'm going to die. I mean, that I've had that feeling like something's really moving with me, and if I don't do this, I will implode, or some part of me, the opportunity will be missed, and I will not get to create what I came on earth to create. And it feels like that in a moment sometimes. You know, it's not just even a big deal. It's just saying the thing at the right time because you know you're on the edge of something. Something magical is happening for you, and it doesn't always feel that way, but it does feel like this pressure. And then you also need to take full responsibility that you're doing it. So that's part of being a conscious adult, which we become more and more conscious as we do that. We become more and more aware of how to do that by stepping out of our comfort zone and bringing something and then seeing, well, this is what happened. You know? And sometimes it's like, oh, crap, this is what happened. And sometimes it's like, I've been born. A part of me has been born. And what I was speaking about, was it Sunday, about the water filling the field? Yeah, I think so. You know, when the water comes in and it finally gets to all the parts of your body. Or I was talking about spirit coming in. And there are parts of you where you have walls or cupboards where spirit isn't going all the way through. When you finally let it move there, something's happening. And it may be a little uncomfortable. And it's like some part, I never knew I had this capacity. This part of me has just shown up. I didn't know I could do that because I wouldn't let myself do that before. So one of the things that happened in our ladies' meeting yesterday, Monday morning, was we were talking about ways in which we find ourselves centered. Prayers we use, words we use to get ourselves into the place where we are calling on that which makes us feel secure. Various women actually spoke the prayers or the things they do to allow themselves to face the place where they don't really know what to do. I mean, I spoke a bit about that on Sunday, where it's like you really don't know what to do, and you have to find a way to say, I am the voice of being. Hear me now. Be me now. Or some way of being centered in, I call in the wisdom of the queen that I am. I call, open my heart like the lover I am. I stand in my position as the warrior I am. I open my mind to the possibility of the wisdom that's available to me. We all have different ways of doing that. I want to read a piece from David's Pulse of Spirit this week. And then after I read it, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to invite anyone who would like to stand up here if you feel it's... There's no pressure to do this, but I want to invoke, even if you don't stand up here, for you to be in the place of that trustworthy voice that you call on to allow yourself to feel still and ready to receive the impulse of spirit or your own voice. You know, for many people, it's a very particular prayer that they learned when they were little. Some people say the Our Father, some people say the Hail Mary if you were raised Catholic. Some people have prayers that their family used. So I know Karen spoke one that she knew. I don't know if you learned it as a child, the one that you spoke of. But there was a time where you spoke that Jewish prayer that was so beautiful. And so I'm just going to read this because it has to do with things we have in common and cultural things that are different. And then I'll sit down and I'd like you to come up here and speak those words, not so much be filling out what we're saying, but stand here in your authority and speak words that invoke that centering, that fertility, that power for you. And invite people, if you want, to close their eyes and be with you in that so they can feel you in that stature. They can feel that invitation to be in being, to hear the voice of spirit in themselves. And then I will stand up at a point and add some more things to say. So this is from Born Out of the Highest Love, this week's Pulse of Spirit. Coming into a space of interchange with you, my question is, what do we share in common? I know the things that are different. I know that we might come from different cultures and different nations, And you might say we are each a culture of one. So in that sense, we are reaching across culture all the time. I know that the way you and I understand our spirituality is unique to each of us. Our words for the divine might be different. Our spiritual practice might be different. And still, my question is, what do we share in common? Do you think the way you or I practice our spirituality changes the reality of that at all? Does the reality of the spiritual change because of the way I think about it, or because of the name I use for it, or because of whatever spiritual practice I have developed? Does the song I sing, because it is different from the one you sing, make your God different from my God? Does it change the divine one iota? It does not. So I ask, what is it that we are sharing in common that is real and undergirds whatever way we practice our spirituality, and whatever way we express ourselves in our culture? Can we celebrate our own culture, which is immediate and distinctive in our life, and at the same time acknowledge that there is something larger that is energizing the culture? There is something that happens when people live out of culture as their defining reality. It could be family culture, it could be tribal culture, it could be national culture or political culture. When people live out of that immediate and let that be their defining reality, the possibilities in life become smaller and smaller. The reality people live in becomes more and more limited. Possibility goes. The expansiveness of universal love goes, and love becomes all about me and mine. Generally speaking, people live out of their culture and expect the outcome to be the wonder of love. I say we should try living the other way around. So I'll leave this space for anyone who would like to bring their words.
Well, thank you. To me, there's only one thing that's trustworthy, and that is the highest love. I think that's what we all have in common. We all come from there. We're all God beings. And as we come from there, then we're building a beautiful culture. We used to call it the culture of the kingdom. And that's the only culture that I really want to build. If we try to respond to these other cultures and get involved in all of that, we make ourselves susceptible to becoming a part of a cult. I don't want to be a part of a cult. I want to be in that culture of the kingdom. And to me, it is a matter of just trusting the only thing that's really worthy of trust. And that is our highest love. The statement comes to me right now, why is the human mind like a parachute? You probably heard this. To work, it has to be open. And open to what? Open to that highest love. Open to the power of blessing and letting that just surge through us. That's the only thing that we're really required to do on earth. This is spirituality made simple. Just bring a blessing in everything that you do. I heard this in a service that was given in this very room in 1972 by a man named Martin Cecil. Bless your circumstance. And he said, this is all we are required to do on earth. Just bless your immediate circumstance, and you are home. So that's where I want to be, in that culture of the kingdom. I feel you're all with me in that.
Thank you, Jerry. I just want to reinvoke what I'd like to invite, if that's because I love Jerry's words, but I also would like us to, from the highest love in ourselves, speak that word of blessing. Speak that word of prayer, that invitation to be centered and invite spirit and wisdom. So speak your blessing from here. Speak your invitation from here. Thank you.
Into your hands I place all my worries, cares, and troubles. Into your wisdom I place my path, my direction, and my goal. And in your love I place my life. What would you have me do? Where would you have me go? What would you have me say? Amen.
Good evening, everyone. This is from one of my teachers in Seattle, Matt Kahn, and his kind of deep mantra is, whatever arises, love that. And I was in a gathering with him for 5 days, and we did these two kind of mantras, and as I say them kind of over and over again, just I invite you to drop in with me. And when I'm scared at night, and I'm in the middle of night, and I'm like scared, oh, like, these will come up for me. I am happy. I am healthy. I am abundant. I am free. I am happy. I am healthy. I am abundant. And I am free. I am happy. I am healthy. I am abundant. I am free. I am happy. I am healthy. I am abundant. I am free. I am happy, I am healthy, I am abundant, I am free. I am happy, I am healthy, I am abundant, and I am free. Here's the second one. I am the way, the truth, the light, the truth, the light, the way I am. I am the way, the truth, the light, the truth, the light, the way I am. I am the way, the truth, the light, the truth, the light, the way I am. I am the way, the truth, the light, the truth, the light, the way I am. So I just invite you guys to just, just be that.
Yeah. God, I thank you for all the things you're doing in our lives in this place and each heart and mind as you continue to bring things up from our past that you can highlight how present your love has always been in our lives, even in the darkness. And God, I just thank you for your power that's greater than everything and the power of love, you know, like which is you. And I just ask you to fill this place and each individual here with more of that awareness and of just how much that the focus of that love is on us. And yeah, Holy Spirit, we invite you. Thank you. In Jesus' name.
May I always find my strong back, my soft front, and the out-breath that connects me with all.
La blanca luz de Cristo me protege. La blanca luz de Cristo protege mi cuarto. La blanca luz de Cristo protege mi comunidad. La blanca luz de Cristo protege este país. La blanca luz de Cristo protege el planeta. La blanca luz de Cristo llena todo el universo de luz. The white light of Christ protects me. The light, the white light of Christ protects my house. The white light of Christ protects my community. The white light of Christ protects our country. The white light of Christ protects the whole planet. The white light of Christ travels all the universe and protects it. Amen.
Thank you.
Heavenly Mother, Father, we come and give thanks and ask that we know ourselves as children of God, beings of love, the living embodiment of the expression of love through Father essence inside of a body of mother form, able to create from thy holy source and the knowledge of I am love.
If you treat another person the way you would want to be treated, you will learn how to walk their path.
May I remind you, dear one, that your track record for coming through every difficulty, every bit of pain, every bit of awkwardness and frustration, every disappointment, every scary moment, your track record for coming through all of the pain of your life is 100%.
Bless all these loving beings.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Be'afta et Adonai Elohecha, v'chol levracha, v'chol nashecha, v'chol meyodecha, v'arim bevetet, uf memecha. Hear, hear, listen. Of the highest love, of the one law, of the oneness, each of us divine expressions. Remember, listen, and radiate.
Can't resist. I want to thank you, O Great Spirit, in this way I long to give my life to you in love and devotion, in love and devotion.
Dear one, beloved of my heart, all is well. May the peace which passes all understanding be with you, come forth from you, and surround all that you touch.
Tanartan Tunipil Sion Dasim and Samron. It's usually translated to give us this day our daily bread. It really means the bread that is ours in this moment. Give us today.
You are whole, you are holy, magnificent and wonderful. You are an instrument of peace, love. You are whole, you are whole. So may it be. Good evening.